You know, I trust you've had a good week and bearing with all the hot weather and all. But I thank you that you're here today. Last Sunday, we had a great celebration here with Arnold and Louise Clendenin and one of our faithful couples here at FBC. They're celebrating their 60th wedding anniversary. And I mean, it was a great celebration. And I know my parents this summer celebrated their 61st, and there are others who are along in that realm. Just this morning, Teresa said, "Hey, you know, friends of ours from Danville, our first church where I ministered as an associate pastor, neighbor, friends, they celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary this weekend." It's like, oh man, I can't believe it. That's just so awesome. And you know, what a blessing to have that testimony of faithfulness through the years. And the certainty of a solid relationship. Because uncertainty in a relationship can tear you up, can it? I mean, you can think back to your dating days, you know, and some of you are in that or not quite there yet. But, you know, man, you're just not sure about that relationship. When there's uncertainty in a marriage relationship, I'll tell you, there's turmoil. Some of you have gone through divorce and how difficult that is. And then maybe children who have gone through their parents' divorces. And just like, man, you know, what's going on? Did I do something wrong? And there's those kinds of questions. And does mommy love me more, daddy? And, you know, there's just turmoil. And there's nothing fun about turmoil in a relationship, is there? But the blessing of certainty. You know, in your relationship with God, God wants you to have certainty. That's what God's design. In fact, that's why he wrote the book of 1 John. And we want to study the book of 1 John. If you're not already there, turn to the book of 1 John. We're looking at chapter 2 right now. But in chapter 5 and verse 13, it says, "These things are written so that you may know that you have eternal life. These things are written to you who believe on the name of the Son so that you may know that you have eternal life." That's why God wrote the book of 1 John. It is a book of assurance, exactly. And so we really appreciate what God did for us by writing this book. Now, that being said, most of us at some time or another have wondered about the reality of God, the reality of your relationship with God, and the security of your relationship with God, right? Have you ever gone through that? Now, some of you are like, not me, man. Some of you, man, you got saved and it was like, yes! This is it. Man, I'm on my way to heaven and I'm praising God and I thank God for that. Wow, that's powerful, isn't it? And some of you have that, but there's others of us, and I put myself in this, that there's some ups and downs. I've been saved since I was a child, but man, I'll tell you what, there's been some times where I've gone through some testing and some wondering, is this real or what if it's not real? Well, praise God for this book. It's a book of assurance. And our take-home challenge, as you have your notes out of your worship folder there, is that the true child of God endures. You're going to work through those matters. You're going to sort through those things. And there are going to be those kinds of things are going to help you learn and help you grow. And hopefully that's what we're doing right here. One song says we're going to praise in the good times, praise His name. In the bad times, do the same. Going to have the ups and downs, but we're going to keep looking to God through those difficulties. So a good definition of biblical perseverance is to hold fast to the fundamentals of the faith and live in obedience to Christ. Hold fast, but also live in obedience. Obedience to Christ. Perseverance is more than just hanging in there, Christian. It's walking in obedience as we live the way God wants us to do. We are faithful and we persevere. Now, I believe in eternal security. Eternal security. But it's an aspect of a larger doctrine called perseverance of the saints. The truly saved will persevere. In other words, salvation has a moral effect. Salvation, if you succumb to the supreme power of the universe, it's going to have some kind of effect on you. Like we said last week, like getting hit by a Mack truck. You know, if you get hit by a Mack truck, there's going to be some evidence that something happened to you. And so when you come to God, you surrender to God in salvation, it's going to have an effect on your life. And that's what the book of 1 John is talking about. It's a book of assurance. And God wants you to know the reality of your faith, that your faith and that faith itself is genuine. So what makes faith genuine? It's not like, oh, I got to work up this, you know, really this believe feeling, or this, I really got to work on this. No, what makes your faith genuine is the object of your faith. In what or whom have you placed your faith? You place your faith in money. You know what? Stock market could crash and it can be gone. Or you say, well, I'm not going to put it in the stock market. I'm going to hide it. Somebody can find it and take it. Proverbs says, you know, riches have wings. It just can fly away. You put your faith in your job. You say, man, I've got a secure job. Man, I'm in it for life. You know, that may be the way it used to be, but not anymore. You could lose your job, couldn't you? There's that uncertainty, that instability sometimes. How about a relationship? Well, we just talked about that. There are ups and downs in relationships, and something could happen. It could be, the relationship could go sour, or you could lose a loved one. You don't know what could happen there. They can all fail, but faith in God is secure because He will never fail you. He'll never fail you. And in this passage here, 1 John, chapter 2, verses 18 to 29, we're looking at qualities of endurance that are evident in the true child of God. And we looked at the first two qualities last week. The first one was overcoming. Verse 18, as a child of God, you persevere by overcoming. And we talked specifically about overcoming sin. Dear children, this is the last hour, as you have heard, that the Antichrist is coming. And even now, many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it's the last hour. The child of God endures by overcoming. Also endures by discernment. The second quality we look at, as a child of God, you persevere or you stand against false doctrine. False doctrine. Verse 18 there. Dear children, this is the last hour. You heard that the Antichrist is coming, and even now many Antichrists have come. Verse 22. Who is a liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son and so on. So you see that as a believer, you're going to be discerning. You're not going to follow after false doctrines. This passage is a strong warning against false teachers, cults, antichrists, and the like. Those are qualities of endurance. Here's the third quality we're looking at today. And that is simply assurance. You're confident as a child of God, and because you know that you're a child of God, you persevere because you are a child of God. My point here is that if you weren't a child of God, you would not, you could not persevere, which points to the matter of security. There is no reason to fear or doubt your salvation if you are truly saved. 1 John 5:13, these things are written so that you may No. If you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, He wants you to know of your salvation. That's what He says. That's what God's Word says here. But as we look at this passage, here are some assurances for you as a child of God. Okay, what are they? Look at verse 20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. Verse 27, as for you, the anointing you received from Him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you, but as His anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in Him. Here's the first assurance as a child of God, and that is you have the Holy Spirit of God in you. You have the Holy Spirit of God. The word anointing here is an anointing of the Holy Spirit. The word here, the Greek word is chrisma, from which we get the word charismatic. Can I say that in a Baptist church? It means to have an unguent or a smearing. Figuratively, it refers to the special endowment or gift of the Holy Spirit. And this special gift is received at the moment of salvation. It's referring to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Someone put it this way. At the moment of salvation, there's like 49 things happen to you. I haven't counted them or checked them out. But there's, first of all, you're saved. Saved from sin. You have eternal life. You have Jesus in you. Sometimes we say we ask Jesus into our lives. And one of those other things is that you have the Holy Spirit of God in you. You have, at the moment of salvation, you have been baptized by the Holy Spirit. That happens at the moment of salvation. Some people, see, everyone who is saved has received the Holy Spirit. Everyone who's saved has received the Holy Spirit. You say, well, wait a minute. I've talked to some others, some charismatics who say, well, you get saved and then, that's okay. But then you have to get baptized by the Holy Spirit as if it were some oftentimes called a second work of grace. So that you just really take off spiritually. I'm here to tell you that that's not biblical. Now, how do I know it? Well, you can look these passages up or follow with me. Romans 8:9. Listen to this. Romans 8:9. And by the way, if you're on YouTube, you can follow right along. Okay, go to, not YouTube. YouVersion. You can follow right along, and maybe someday we'll be on YouTube. But you go to YouVersion, and all the notes are right there, and you can follow right along. And it has these verses looked up for you already. But Romans 8:9. You, speaking to believers, you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. He's talking to believers. So, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you're a child of God, right? At the moment you've trusted Christ as a Savior, if you don't have the Holy Spirit of God, you're none of His. So that's one indication, one passage that indicates as soon as you trust Christ as Savior, you have the Holy Spirit of God in you. Here's another one, and it's 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, speaking to all believers, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. So you see there, those are just a couple passages that show that at the moment of salvation, you have the Holy Spirit of God. You have been baptized. The word baptized means immersed. You have been immersed in the Holy Spirit of God. Doesn't happen later. That concept is kind of a Gnosticism. A Gnosticism was a special knowledge that was a false teaching that was taught in the early church. And it said it was okay to believe in Jesus as Savior, but you had to attain unto a greater knowledge. If you're really saved, it's kind of a secret on how to get there. And that's not biblical. And here are just some passages to show you. And a matter of assurance here of your salvation is that you have the Holy Spirit of God in you as a result of your salvation. If you are saved, you have the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And as a result, you have the power of the Holy Spirit of God in you to comfort you, to strengthen you, to enable you, to intercede on your behalf, to enable you to comprehend and apply the Word of God to your life and to minister God's grace to your heart. Isn't that great? How awesome to think that you have the Holy Spirit of God residing in you. That's something that Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Daniel, they couldn't say that. Now, the Holy Spirit came on them to accomplish certain things. That was the ministry. That's the way the Holy Spirit worked in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit came upon them to help them to accomplish amazing things, but didn't stay with them. And I think, it's something that we take for granted as believers in the age of grace or the church age, New Testament believers. But think about this. When you get to heaven, I think, we'd like to talk to Moses. Man, Moses, what was it like? Standing on the mountain, and all the things going on, talking to God and everything. God talking to you. Wow, that must have been something. that'll be neat to be talk to those guys. But you know what? I think they're going to come up to you and me, and they're going to say, "Hey, tell me, what was it like to have the Holy Spirit with you all the time? Well, tell me about it." You know, we're sitting here going, I guess it was pretty cool. You know, listen, folks, it's awesome. It's awesome to think that you have the Holy Spirit of God to enable you, to strengthen you continually, and you can draw upon His power. You can cry out to God and say, "Oh God, help me." And I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would strengthen me, comfort me, encourage me, enable me to do what you want me to do. And depend upon Him for that. That's an assurance. We have this privilege. You can cry out to Him to ask for that help. And by the way, this is a faith statement. It's not something you have to kind of work up and say, "Oh, I want to feel the Holy Spirit of God in me," you know. And, you know, we sang, you know, "Holy Spirit, you know, we welcome you here." You know, yeah, He's here. We acknowledge His presence with us. It's a faith statement. It's a truth. It's a fact. We acknowledge it. It's not based upon our feelings or our emotion. I was talking with Teresa this morning a little bit. I said, "Man, I'm just trying to think of some illustrations, you know, like, you know, we're citizens. Most of us, if not all of you, are citizens of the United States. Can you feel it? You know, oh, can you feel it? You know, you're a citizen of the United States. Oh, yeah, can you feel it?" You know, we don't walk around saying, "Well, I wish I could just feel like a citizen of the United States of America." You know? No, it's a fact. It's a truth. And the fact of the matter is, there are good citizens and there are bad citizens, you know? But the fact is, we're citizens. And that might help. Another one I thought of is, you know, your job. You know, you're employed by such and such a company. Can you feel it? You know? You just feel like, I have this job. It just gives me chills down my spine. I got this job. No, you're an employee of that company. You see, it's a fact, and you operate based on the fact. You go to work based on the fact that you're an employee. We are law-abiding citizens based on the fact that we're citizens of the United States. This is a faith statement. You have the Holy Spirit of God. Live in light of it. Believe it. Live out the truth. You have the Holy Spirit of God in you. Accept it by faith as true. That's an assurance. I want to encourage you with that. That's what God says right here. Here's a second assurance here as for the child of God. Verse 21. "I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth." Simply, here's an assurance: you know the truth. You know the truth. "You" refers to the ones to whom he's addressing. And we already studied that a few weeks ago, and that's children, fathers, young men. It's speaking of people all along the spiritual spectrum, spiritual growth spectrum. Some are children. Some are young men. Some are fathers in their faith, spiritual maturity. He's saying that you know the truth about the fundamentals of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you wouldn't be saved. If you didn't know them and didn't believe them, you wouldn't be saved. In verse 27, he says, "As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, as it has taught you, remain in him." He's not saying that you don't need pastors or teachers. That's not what he's saying. If that were the case, why would we be here? You know, "Oh, I'm a Christian. I don't have to go to church. I'm just going to rely on the Holy Spirit to teach me." No, he's not saying that you don't need pastors or teachers. But when it comes to salvation, it's not a matter of just learning about Jesus and who he is. It's a matter of the Holy Spirit of God convicting you. The word convict comes from the word convince. And the Holy Spirit of God convinced you that you are a sinner. And you realized that because of your sin, you are separated from God's holiness. and you believed that Jesus died, that God sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross, was buried, and He rose again. You believe that because the Holy Spirit of God convinced you that that's true. And so you repented, you turned away from your sin, and you turned to God in salvation through Jesus Christ. And you trusted Christ as your Savior. You didn't. Now, someone may have shared that with you, but it was the Holy Spirit of God that convinced you of those truths, and you surrendered to Him in salvation. That's what this passage is saying here. In the fundamentals, the foundational truths are truths that you believed. And then you walk by faith. You started living the way you knew God would have you to live. What a blessing for you to know the same Holy Spirit that I do as pastor, as your teacher. You know, and you have the same Holy Spirit that I do. You don't have to wait for me to teach you biblical truth or to rely upon me to learn or even blame me for not learning. Now, not saying you don't need pastors and teachers, but you don't have to wait for me. You can study the Word of God. You can understand the Word of God. You can take the Word of God and apply it to your life and live it out. There may be an area in your life that I haven't preached on in the last 6 months or even a year, but you're working on it. You're learning about it. Why? Because God, through His Word and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, is helping you to understand these things. As your pastor, I am simply an aid. I am a tool in His hands as I minister the Word of God and preach and teach the Word of God to help you to be aware of some things, and God through His Word teaches you these truths. Here's another passage that helps understand this, and that is 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And again, 1 Corinthians is a book of correction. So he's correcting the Corinthian believers about some things that had gone awry in their walk. But 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 to 16, Paul is writing and he says, "We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God," speaking of the Holy Spirit, "that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned." They're understood by spiritual means, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. If you're understanding what I'm saying here today, that can be an assurance to you. I'm not talking about just understanding the words, because you understand English. I'm talking about understanding the spiritual truths of which we speak. If you're understanding that, that's like, thank you. You should be sitting here going, thank you, God. I know the truth. This makes sense. He goes on here and he says, For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Who does? Believers. That's how and why you can understand what we're talking about. You're like, yes, preach it. You know, you're like, this makes sense. Because you know the truth. And the Holy Spirit enables you to comprehend spiritual truths. And understanding spiritual truths provides assurance. So here's another assurance. Look at verse 24. "See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father." It's just simply, you're faithful. You know, that's an assurance. If you're faithful in your walk with the Lord, I'm not saying you're perfect, but that's an assurance. You know, and you think of that in a relationship, whether it's a marriage relationship, a dating relationship, even a friendship. Man, if there's faithfulness there, man, it's an assurance. It's like, yeah, you know, we're good. If you're faithful, that's an assurance. You hold to what you believe upon your salvation. You're constant in your faith. And again, I think this is a challenge to remain faithful. Eternal security is not a matter of just resting on the laurels of a decision you made when you were 12 years old. Well, I prayed a prayer and so I'm good. I'm not discounting the importance of praying and asking God to save you. But remain faithful. It's a challenge. It's an encouragement for you to do so. See to it that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. Again, it's a matter of remaining faithful, and the truly saved can and will. I think of another passage in 2 Timothy 1:12. Powerful passage. Paul again, writing to Timothy, young pastor. And Paul says, I am not ashamed because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. I know it. I'm convinced of it. I'm faithful. Here's another assurance. Verse 25. And this is what he promised us, even eternal life. Listen, here's an assurance. You have eternal life. Yeah, really? You have eternal life. Listen to this. If you could lose it, then it wasn't eternal life to begin with, was it? You know, it doesn't make sense. Okay, I'm going to give you eternal life. If God would say, you know, God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. All right? Would not perish, I think is more accurate. Would not perish, but have eternal life. But I'm going to take it away from you if you don't do good. I'm going to take it away from you if you mess up too badly. Right, wait a minute. So it wasn't eternal? You said it was eternal, but if you can take it away from me, if I could lose it, it really wasn't eternal. You see, the integrity of God is at stake here. Here's another passage I want you to look at, and it's my favorite security passage in the Scripture. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Listen to this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth. Wasn't up to me. He gave it to me. It was a gift from Him. He gave us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade away. My inheritance that I've received, that salvation I've received, can never perish, spoil, or fade away. And listen to the next phrase. It is kept in heaven for you. Not by you, but for you. Who through faith are, listen to this, shielded by God's power. Nothing less than the power of Almighty God, the God of Creator of the entire universe. He's the one who shields your salvation until the coming of that salvation that is ready to be revealed at the last time. Wow! That's powerful. That is assurance. That's encouragement. Thank you, God, for my eternal life. And then a final assurance here in verse 26, back in 1 John 2. I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. You're simply not led astray. That's an assurance. You're not led astray. Why not? Because you're a child of God. If someone is led astray, then they weren't a child of God, or else they wouldn't have left us. Remember that, verse 19? Those who left, they went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us, but their going showed that none of them belonged to us. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. If you're a child of God, you're going to guard your heart against being led astray by your sin, by Satan, by selfishness, or even by some smooth talker. Far too many have been led astray by a smooth-talking preacher, teacher, professor. You know, they get up there and they start teaching and they say, you know, who is God? And you start going, I hadn't thought of it like that before. They didn't say that in church before. I never heard it like that in Sunday school. And then we start seeing things on Facebook and so on saying that, you know, their church deceived them and this kind of thing. Guard your heart. For it is the wellspring of life. It's so sad to see individuals desert the faith. Now, are they saved or not? Were they saved? Or are they saved now? You know, they prayed a prayer and they went to Sunday school and they graduated. They were involved in youth group and all. But then they go off to college and we don't see them again. Are they saved or not? I'll speak to that in just a moment. But in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, 1 Timothy 1, 18 through 20, Paul again writing to Timothy. Timothy, my son, I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by following them you might fight the good fight. You know, there are challenges in the faith. There are the ups and downs. There are the difficulties. There are, you know, sometimes I had someone come to me and they said, oh, we don't believe that the Bible is a book of answers. It's a book of questions. I've always thought of it as a book of answers. And I just got to thinking about that. Ah. And it challenged my heart. Fight the good fight. Holding on to faith and a good conscience. Some have rejected these and have shipwrecked their faith. Among them are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme. So are they saved? You know, they it seemed like they were for a while, but they've shipwrecked their faith. Are they still saved? My answer to that is, you know what? I don't know. God does. Alexander and Hymenaeus are in God's hands. And we've had some of that happen here at FBC. We've had people who are just, they're gone. Like, were they saved? I don't know. They're in God's hands. But I can say this. They're not acting like believers. They're not acting like believers because believers repent. Make things right with God. And remain faithful. And I'll tell you what, it is a blessing when you do see someone who has strayed. Sometimes we call it backsliding. You've heard that? Where they've strayed from the faith, and guess what? They come back. It's like, yes! Praise God! And it's so exciting when you see that. But my encouragement to you, as we have in this text here, is remain faithful. So you don't have to go through that wondering, you know? Remain faithful. And when you remain faithful, that's an assurance. So this passage presents these qualities of a child of God's endurance, overcoming, discernment, and assurance. And then finally, here's another quality of endurance, and that is in verse 27 through 29. As for you, the anointing you received from Him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you, but as His anointing teaches you about all things, and that as that anointing is real, not counterfeit. Here's the final quality of endurance in this passage that I see, and that's authenticity. The anointing is real, not counterfeit. As a child of God, your perseverance is genuine. Just last Sunday, I had someone come up to me, and we were talking about our church, and they're new to our ministry, and they said this, I've never seen so many genuine Christians in all my life. Isn't that awesome? This individual was talking about you. Many of you, they've talked with you. And they said, you know what? I've never seen so many genuine Christians in all my life. I've known other Christians or people who said they were Christians, and you could just tell it wasn't real to them or that it was fake. But I've seen so many genuine Christians here at FBC. Now you need to realize we're not a perfect church, okay? Oh, I know. But I've just been so impressed by so many genuine Christians. Wow, to God be the glory, and keep up the good work and keep showing Christ authentically to those around you. So often you run into people who say they're Christians, but things just don't line up. And you know, you can tell when someone's faking, or you suspect when they're faking. It's kind of like that true story movie, Catch Me If You Can, where Frank Abagnale Jr. was played by Leonardo DiCaprio. And again, a true story. This guy pretended to be a Pan Am pilot, co-pilot actually. He pretended to be a doctor. He pretended to be a prosecuting attorney, and he pulled it off. And in doing so, he wrote millions of dollars worth of forged checks, and he pulled it off. But he was nothing but a shyster. And he did all of this, get this, until I was reading on this recently, I did not realize it. He did this all before his 19th birthday. He was 17 and 18 years old, and he pulled it off. But he was a fake. He was a fake. But here, God says that if you have trusted Christ as Savior, you've surrendered to God in salvation, you have the Holy Spirit of God in you, it's genuine. It's not counterfeit. It's real. And your perseverance is genuine. It's not forged. It's not forced. And it's your desire to remain faithful. It's not like, this being Christian is just a, man, I got to get up and go to church. I got to be kind to other people. Man, this is really, this is the pits. It's your desire. You want to do that. You want to live to please God. It's not a burden. It's a joy. And these qualities that we're talking about here, these qualities of endurance, are evidences of true salvation. These qualities are evidence of true salvation. Genuine faith and perseverance. Look at verse 28. He says, "And now, dear children, believers, continue in Him, so that when He appears, you may be confident and unashamed before Him at His coming." Endure. And if you endure and you're faithful, as you, I know you want to be, guess what? The results are going to be, first of all, you'll have confidence. You're going to have confidence. It's not going to be, I'm not sure about my relationship with God. No, you're going to have a confidence. And then another result is you're not going to be ashamed. There's going to be no shame at His coming. You know, Jesus could come at any moment. And wow, you know, how have you ever thought about that? Man, I hope Jesus doesn't come right now, because I know what I just said or what I just did. What I wouldn't want Him to be here. So that kind of that motivates you to be faithful. And when you're faithful, there's no shame. And here at 29, verse 29 shows further evidence of true rebirth. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of Him. You're going to imitate His righteousness. You're going to, chapter 2, verse 3, verse 6, I guess it is, you're going to walk as Jesus walked. You know, you're going to say, yeah. That's what I want to do. I want to live like Jesus. You're gonna fellowship with Jesus. You want to learn from Him. So perseverance isn't a hang in there, grin and bear it, kind of a thing. But it gives hope that you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. That you can change. You have the ability to change. You can overcome. You can be victorious. You have the ability to endure. You can rejoice in trials. You can return good for evil. You can love the unlovely. The point here is that you can do all that God expects of you and thereby bring glory to His name because of all that you have in Jesus. You become a child of God. You can do it. Not in your strength. Remember Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I the only way I can do it is through Christ who gives me strength. The only way. And that should encourage your heart and motivate you
to be faithful.
These are assurances. These are assurances that God has given you and me to say, yes, thank you, God, that I'm a child of God. Let's ask for His help. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these assurances that we have learned here today. We're so humbled by these truths because, as the hymn says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. We live in this body of flesh that's been affected by sin. We live in this world of sin that's been affected by sin. And it's around us. But Father, thank you that we have the power of the Spirit in us to be overcomers, to be able to discern, to walk in obedience, and to have assurance in our lives, to be faithful. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I don't know how God may have spoken to you through His Word, and it may be in numerous ways. And we want to give you an opportunity to respond here this morning. You can respond in several ways. You can fill out a communication card, and we'd like everyone to fill out a communication card. Take it from the pew in front of you there. And just jot down how God may have spoken to you through His Word. It may be that you didn't understand the spiritual things, the significance of these things, and you want to know more about salvation through Jesus Christ. Just put, I want to get saved, or I have questions about salvation. Or maybe as a believer, you're saying, you know, I struggle with something, or I have a question about something, or maybe it's a praise. Praise God for my eternal salvation. Just jot down how God has spoken to you through His Word here. Another way to respond is through our offerings. We have the offering here after the message to say, you know what, this is just a way you can respond to the Lord and say, God, thank you for this church and the fact that God's Word is preached not just from the pulpit, but all through all the programs, from the little ones in the nursery all the way up through adults. It doesn't happen just here in this room. It happens all throughout our ministry. That the Word of God and your faithful support enables that to continue on faithfully.